relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
He may have been born in Britain, but now his heart is America's. It's your favorite legal immigrant, President Trump's former strategist, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
I do like the way he says Sebastian. I'll have to learn how to do that. Welcome, friends. Yes, indeed. Where did that first hour go? That's crazy. You are back with America First with me on the Salem Radio Network. And welcome to the GunBroker.com Second Amendment Friday. I am over the moon with regards to our new, brand new partnership with my favorite gun site on the planet. GunBroker.com makes it so easy to visit just one web page to buy all the firearms and accessories you need, and I mean all of them. If you are a gun enthusiast, bookmark gunbroker.com and visit it at least once a day or several more times a day. Right now, I've got my eyes on this. Have you heard of what Beowulf 50 cal is? It is a 50 caliber width cartridge that fits into a regular AR-15 frame. It's very short and stubby, but it's 50, you know, half an inch across. And some crazy person has built a 7-inch AR pistol that takes 50 Beowulf cartridges. Right now, it's at Doc's Firearms for $997. I'm keeping my eye on that one. We are so happy to have GunBroker.com on board as our new title sponsor for this hour every Friday. Celebrate the Second Amendment with me by going to GunBroker.com right now and discovering the perfect deal for you. We have a special guest coming up in a few moments here on America First. But first, I want to play you an audio cut that really blew my mind. It was yesterday's news. I think, was it, Mr. G, was it yesterday's news on WMAL or this morning's?
It was this morning.
Oh, this morning. My gosh, the time is just it's like moving at the speed of Trump. On a sister news station, the news, the hourly news, had the following audio cut from the news host, Barbara Britt. Now, pay real close attention because it's really very, very interesting. Barbara Britt, cut 14.
A coronavirus survivor insists a combination of drugs, including hydroxychloroquine, saved his life.
52-year-old Rio Giardinieri says he thought he was going to die.
It was time to start saying my goodbyes to people.
Telling WMAL's Mornings on the Mall, a friend told him about the anti-malaria drug, and he got permission from his doctor after 5 days in the hospital to try it.
And it just dawned on me that, you know, I could breathe. The fever was gone.
Rio says that drug, along with the Z-Pak and other medicines from the doctor, saved his life. One small study out of China found that hydroxychloroquine had zero effect on coronavirus.
So, did you catch it right there? We had that individual, Mr. Giardinieri, on our show in the last hour. He said, I was dying. And my doctor said, you can try this. And it saved his life. And then the host of the news segment says, one small study out of China says that the drug hydroxychloroquine has no effect on the coronavirus. Why is that part of the hourly news? What on earth is the value of one small study? And what if it's one small study that's coming out of the Communist Party headquarters? Got to be super careful, guys.
That's why I, every single day since the 15 days to break the back of the coronavirus has started, I've said, stick to sources you can trust. Eric, repost, please, your article on the 15 most reliable news sites out there on my Twitter feed, on my Facebook feed, and beyond those sites that you can trust because they've proven themselves. Please stick. Forget the rumor mill. Somebody texted you something. Somebody works at DO. No, forget it. Stick to coronavirus.gov, whitehouse.gov, and CDC, the Centers for Disease Control.gov, for the facts. And catch, it's almost every day, the president's coronavirus team response team's briefings. Please, let's kill the rumors and the fear-mongering. He was on the show a while ago. It changed how we do business. It changed how you donate to incredible causes to help others. And I'm so excited to have Angel Oloma back with us right now. He's Executive Vice President for Food for the Poor, Chief Marketing Officer. Angel, welcome back to America First.
It's good to be back, Doctor. How are you?
I'm well. I understand it, but I'm a little bit disturbed that we've raised over $20,000 for you guys to do God's work in Guatemala to help those children who don't have clean drinking water, that are suffering from malnutrition. But it's not as much as I would like to see us giving. But I completely get it. In an age of uncertainty, with businesses shutting down, with people afraid that they're infected by some invisible virus from Asia, I get it. But that's why I need you on the show right now to talk about two things. Talk about how what's happening just not far from us in this hemisphere, how that isn't an odd state of affairs. It's not an unusual one. It's what they're battling with for months, for years, and why you're doing this work and how much of a difference our listeners can make if they donate to your cause right now.
Well, here's the thing. For us, when we have to self-quarantine, when we have to socially distance, I am here in my home socially distancing, and I don't have any symptoms or anything, but we all shut down the office, and we're all working remotely, very hard. I thought working at home would be easier. I'm working 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
Because we understand that the poor, when they self-quarantine, it's by force. They live, seven, eight, nine of them, in 12 feet by 12 feet, mud hut with cardboard and plastic. They have no food to give their kids. And that's what's important. Children in Guatemala die because they don't have enough food. I have a pantry here filled with food that I could feed probably the whole neighborhood. These children and the mothers, the pain the mothers and the grandmothers and the grandparents feel when they see a little child and they cannot help it because they can't afford to buy some rice and beans or some milk or something. They can't afford to take them to a clinic when they get sick. And that's what, you know, your listeners have responded so well to this so many times, that is really life and death. Guatemala has the second highest death rate of the Western Hemisphere from malnutrition. And it has the highest rate of child stuntedness, where they become much slower in development, both mentally and physically. And that's why I'm appealing to your listeners. And I know it's a tough time now where everyone is distracted and anxious and worried. But these people, their children are dying, and they can do something about it. Your listeners, by any type of donation, can actually make a child live. And they have responded so well in the past because Americans, say what anyone might, are the most generous people in the world.
No, that's,
whether it's local or whether it's foreign, they really respond.
No, that's simply a statement of fact. We are the most generous nation and populace the world has ever seen. Help me again, because this is something that turns up now and again here when I ask people to help you and help those children who are hungry and who don't have clean drinking water. When people say to me, look, we got to fix our own home first. We got to help the homeless in America. We got to feed the destitute in America. What is your message to them, especially in this Lent and Easter period, of why every child matters?
Well, because basically in the United States, we have 1.5 million charities registered with the IRS. The large majority of them, I would say 80 to 90%, our local charities. So here, people know where to go to a food kitchen, to one of the mission areas. And there is much more because it's a very wealthy country. And we have Feeding America, who does a tremendous job, and also other charities and things like that, but the Salvation Army. But we are taking care of our neighbors right on, like, 2 hours, not even 2 hours away from us. And here we have Social Security, we have food stamps, we have public schools, we have public clinics, we have a lot of things that our people in Guatemala do not have. And it has to be the worst thing in the world to know that your child is not dying because they have cancer or some horrible accident. They are dying simply because the parents, as much as they try, they don't have the money. They're earning $2 or less a day. They don't have the money to feed their children.
Well, look, this is the message of the New Testament. It is the message of our Lord and Savior. Children, we need to help the children, and that's what you're doing. God bless you. He is Executive Vice President for the Food for the Poor campaign. Please support his work, his colleagues' work right now. It's so simple. You can do it from the comfort of your home. Just go to my website, sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and click on the Feed the Starving Families banner. A donation in any amount makes a difference. But $80 will provide a child food and water for a whole year. Please help right now. SebGorka.com, Feed the Starving Families banner.
Portions of America First are sponsored by Moral Compass LLC's No Safe Spaces movie.
Portions of America First are brought to you by GunBroker.com.
Welcome back, friends. Yes, indeed, it's Second Amendment Friday. We're so excited to be partnering with GunBroker.com, my favorite site for all things gun-related. And also, it's Friday, which means it's national security time with our regular guest, Jim Carafano, Vice President of the Heritage Foundation, and the man we go to for all national security and foreign policy issues. Before we get to Jim, if you're looking for something to ease the stir-crazy feelings of being cooped up, if you've run out of things to watch on Netflix and Amazon, I've got the right choice for you. It's Dennis Prager's new movie with Adam Carolla. It's called No Safe Spaces, and you can watch it at nosafespaces.com. It is ranked number one political documentary of 2019, and I've never seen this before. On RottenTomatoes.com, it has a 99% fresh audience rating. That's stunning. With special guests Jordan Peterson, Tim Allen, Ben Shapiro, and many, many more, check out nosafespaces.com for Dennis Prager's latest movie. I've seen it, and it's great. Jim, welcome back to the studio. Thank you for coming in. We have a handful of guests who still brave the empty streets of the swamp to come into our studio, and you're one of them.
It was worth it just to hear you say Rotten Tomatoes.
you enjoyed the way I said Rotten Tomatoes.
Somehow it's like if you have a 5% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, it still sounds more dignified.
I should sell my voice to RottenTomatoes.com. Jim, we have so much to discuss. We've just recorded an hour with you on our special separate...
It's not an hour.
It was 50 minutes.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It felt like 30 seconds.
Was it nuts? It was crazy. So you're having so much fun. No, we recorded the latest episode for our Gorka's Cabinet long-form interview. I've never sat down with Jim. We've known each other, I don't know, 10, 20, who knows how long. Long time. We've never sat down and just shot the breeze for that long, and it was so much fun. You find out who he is and what his take is on the swamp, how the president's doing on coronavirus. Check out Gorka's Cabinet right now. Join today at sebgorka.com. One thing we kind of touched upon, but not quite, and this is something that has really been exciting for me to watch, and I'd love to get your input as well. There's maybe a misunderstanding from the general public about how decisions are made by the federal government. Mm. As if, well, Dr. Fauci's there, he'll tell us what to do. or Dr. Deborah Birx is the epidemiologist. She'll tell the president what to do. But you've been in the Army. You've taught. You're a West Point graduate. You've been at Heritage for 17 years. For you as well as for me, these things, the theory, the knowledge has to be matched with praxis. How does it actually work in the real world? And what we're seeing right now with the president is there's one person who bears the decision, the authority and the responsibility to decide, right. And there are those that feed into that process. Unpack how you see it working right now and how it should be working, because for me, it looks like the coronavirus response team is how it should be done.
Yeah. That's a great question, and you're right. I think most Americans have no idea what that really looks like, because for most of us, the exposure is what we see on West Wing or Bill Pullman or Harrison Ford in Air Force One.
Or when that IRS check arrives, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Your worst president ever, Danny Glover, end of the world, and Danny Glover gets tsunamied by an aircraft carrier. What's that all about?
Into films, by the way. Jim is into films.
The Constitution basically framed the White House as a black box. And what that meant was, because of the balance of power and the nature of executive privilege, the presidents really have freedom to design the inside of that box and how it operates.
This is really important. Can we stop here for a second?
Sure.
Because executive privilege is almost always seen in a very pejorative sense. The opposition party wants something. The incumbent White House president says no executive privilege. But what you've just outlined is very important, that a certain almost limitless latitude was given by the founding fathers to the executive, because stuff needs to be decided upon.
And why that's smart, not just from a constitutional perspective, from a strategic perspective, is the support structure for a strategic leader that works best is the one that maximizes their capacity to make a high-quality decision at the right time.
Yes, and in time.
Every leader is different. And the smart ones will organize the White House to build on their strengths and compensate for their weaknesses. The weak ones will exacerbate their weaknesses by creating a White House structure that suits them but doesn't actually facilitate their decision-making. So Bill Clinton, for example, loved to talk everything to death.
Yeah.
I mean, and so they would just become these endless talk sessions, and there was no forcing mechanism to force a decision. And so that's why, whether it was Rwanda or
Bosnia.
He was always late to the game.
Right.
Right.
Right now, on that issue, let me share my experience in the White House. Is that I wasn't on the NSC. I was in this special group called the Strategic Initiatives Group. But what we found in the White House in general, especially in the NSC, was a duplication of federal government.
Right.
It had grown to 420 people, the NSC, and also what I call the over-tacticalization of the White House.
Right.
The idea that your target sets of high-value targets of terrorists would be discussed in the White House, and the president had this secure iPad that had his threat disposition matrix where he could choose which terrorist to kill today. That's the antithesis of strategy. That's not the president doesn't choose which tank commander to whack in the Battle of the Bulge. It's the local theater commander. Right. So this is what we inherited, and it's not strategic.
So Trump is actually a very strong strategic decision maker, and what he's actually done is restructure the White House to amplify that.
Right.
So this the whole thing about the axis of adults, that there were generals, that was just
reining him in. Right.
The reality is if Trump has, we know the showman Trump, right? But then there's the serious Trump, the guy that's got to make the life and death decision. And he does that the same way he make the big businesses. I'm sitting here and I'm going to build a skyscraper. Get me the frickin' best architect you can find.
Yeah.
Get me the best contract manager you can find. Get me the best EPA. Give me all those guys. And then you guys tell me. And if it makes sense, I'll do that. And I'll build the best frickin' skyscraper in the world.
Right.
And that is essentially, I think, how he has addressed all the big foreign policy issues. Is bring me the best people in the world, and then he will challenge them and say, "Look, you're the smart guy. To me, this is just common sense. Explain to me why it's not. And in some cases, like, well, they go, let me give you 87 reasons why we can't move the embassy to Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
Says, okay, thank you. None of that. Let's just move the frickin' embassy, right? Or on the other hand, you know, when people said, well, look, you just cannot walk away from Syria completely. And, okay, you convinced me. I won't do that. Even though I said I would, I won't, because you convinced me it's a smart thing to do. You just look at the stage every day at 5 o'clock at the people that are there. They are hand selected by the president of the United States. They weren't to the best people to get together to give him the best advice. And you see that real time every day, which is why CNN and you know,
MSNBC don't want to cover it.
Don't want to go there anymore.
I have to commend Jim. Of all the people that I know in D.C. who haven't worked directly for the president, they briefed him. He understands him better than most. Back with Jim Carafano of the Heritage Foundation next here on America First. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
Can't get enough of Dr. G? Want exclusive access? Unique content? Join Gorka's cabinet today. Go to sebgorka.com.
He may be in his undercover mufti outfit with his baseball cap and his t-shirt on, but it's what do you mean? You're on YouTube, dude. There's a camera looking at you. But he's in studio, and we commend him for that. He is the vice president of the conservative mothership, the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. If you're not a member, why aren't you a member? And he is our regular go-to guy for all things national security and foreign policy. Jim, I think it was Sunday night. That makes sense. About midnight, that the president tweeted out the following: "We cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself." That's really the challenge in front of the commander in chief right now. The shutting down, right. It's never happened. We've never shut down the U.S. economy. And incredible radio caller on my friend's show this morning called in. He said his sister's cousin's husband was working on in the oil industry. 28-year-old guy just ate a gun barrel yesterday because he lost his job. Oh, wow. I mean, this is the challenge in front of us. But that's statecraft, isn't it?
Yeah, the criticism was, you know, very typical. They cherry pick the president's comments over the top. That somehow, oh, he's just going to let the disease run rampant and kill the entire country. He's not going to do that. He recognizes that you need good public health policy to defeat the disease, and we've got to get the country back to work.
Yes.
And you have to
to balance that.
Dude, you have to figure out how to do both. You have to beat Japan, and you have to beat Germany, and dude, you just have to figure out how to beat both. And that's what the president's doing. So there's three big variables that are going to define how we can do that. One is slowing the spread of the disease. This is why the public distancing is so important. We have to slow the spread of the disease, because we cannot let it overwhelm the medical system and crash the national medical system. The second variable is the deployment of antivirals, therapeutics, prophylaxis, robust testing, ways to lessen the disease so we don't dump more people in the hospitals, to manage the
impact.
Right. And then the third one was we have to ramp up the capacity of hospitals so they're not overwhelmed. As we deploy that set of capabilities to manage the battle against the disease, then we can start looking at how do we open up the country in risk-informed ways. Are there parts of the country? Are there sectors? Are there business things we can do? And some of this will be – a lot of this will be the innovation and creativity of us and American citizens in the private sector. So, for example, the airlines now are looking at UV disinfectant, right? So much more efficient way to disinfect the plane. You'll actually be safer flying on the plane. It's probably be one of the least likely places you would actually wind up with the disease. So that's what we're in the middle of. And, the president's right. The sooner we can get people back to work, the better off we're going to be. This is the difference. Let's be honest. Progressives would be happy if we stayed home forever because they want everybody to be dependent on them.
On the government.
And they want the government to do everything. And this notion that I think, first of all, I'm not even sure this $1 trillion whatever thing is really the answer. The answer is get America back to work.
Yes. Yes.
And they hate that.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted, they already said, we're going to need more trillions of dollars after this, right?
Yeah.
No, we just need to put America back to work. And remember, London wasn't, this is not the London Blitz. This is not the Chicago Fire. All the infrastructure.
It's not the bubonic plague.
That's right. Everything, right. Well, the bubonic plague. But everything is there to turn the light switch back on and get America up and running again.
In the last minute we have with Jim Carafano, JJ Carafano on Twitter, you said something on our special subscription service, Gawker's Cabinet, on the podcast, and you got to join. But you said we could come out of this stronger. In the last minute, what's the logic there, Jim?
Well, everybody's been hit by this.
Yeah, the world.
That's the logic.
153 countries.
And everybody is struggling to deal with it. First of all, I think in the end, our response will be better than anybody else. We'll get our economy up and running faster. So I think we will be the world leader coming out of this. We shouldn't be sorry for ourselves. We should be excited and optimistic for the day we're all up and running again. And we should be thinking about what are we going to do when that happens to make America a better place, to make the world a better place, to make us safer, and to make the lives of our competitors more miserable.
I love it. Spoken as a West Point grad and former artillery officer. And don't forget, the key issue here is that we were ranked by Forbes and Statista as the number one nation able to deal with a pandemic, right? just 2 weeks before the shutdown. We will come out of this stronger. We will be the nation that deals with its over-reliance on China like no other nation. God bless you and your colleagues. You're doing amazing things at the Heritage Foundation, burning the candle at both ends, supporting the president and this administration in making the right decisions. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that is natural, pain relief that has no negative side effects. And perhaps most important of all is how it functions. If you're struggling with daily pain, I just had my knee surgery a month ago. If you're taking regular synthetic painkillers, are you aware how they work? They actually mask the pain. They attack the pain receptors, your sense of pain. They don't fix anything. Relief Factor is different. Relief Factor's ingredients, resveratrol, curcumin, omega-3s, attack the source of your pain, which is the inflammation. And that's why tens of thousands of Americans are getting daily relief from their pain because of this incredible product. Find out if it could work for you by going to ReliefFactor.com and ordering the 3-week quick starter pack right now. It's $19.95, which translates to less than a dollar a day. And you'll understand why not only me, but also my great colleagues here at Salem, Dennis Prager, Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Larry Elder, all stand by this remarkable product. You deserve to be the next success story. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Back with Second Amendment Friday special guest, Green Beret, Terry Shepard.
This is Second Amendment Friday on America First, brought to you by GunBroker.com.
I just love that music. We chose that especially for our GunBroker.com Friday Second Amendment segments. GunBroker.com is the world's largest digital marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammo, accessories, and a whole lot more. The gun selection is unmatched. Trust me, it is unmatched, with over 1 million daily listings. At GunBroker.com, you are certain to find the gun of your dreams. Shop today at GunBroker.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald Trump, and we have a very special guest with us. He is our favorite Green Beret, and I know a lot of Green Berets, so That's saying something. He is, of course, Terry Schapper. Terry, did you appreciate the "Where Eagles Dare" music for you?
How could you not appreciate that? How could you not appreciate that? I love it.
So how are you surviving the coronavirus Wuhan Chinese virus insanity, Terry?
First of all, you calling it China virus really offends me, Seb, but I'll continue.
So when you have lo mein, you just say it's noodles of an undetermined geographic origin.
Well, it's still, we've kind of let it go because it was so insane that people were actually hanging on that and making a big deal out of that. I mean, I think, you know, I'm okay. I live on the Outer Banks in North Carolina, and they've actually you got to cross multiple bridges to get to where I live.
So what have they done? What have the local authorities done with you and the local residents?
Well, I think in response, what happened was initially that there's some real estate people here, and I get it. We're putting out announcements like, you know, we know you're in quarantine and your kids are out of school, so come to the Outer Banks for kind of an early spring break. And people living here were like, you're vectoring the disease right on top of us.
Right.
And so they shut the bridges sequentially. And now pretty much the only people who are getting on the island is, you know, people who live here, not just if you own property and you don't live here, you can't come on. And also obviously anybody who has to come in and work at the businesses, but you know, I'm kind of a hermit anyway, Seb, unless I'm filming or working or training. So this is kind of just like a continuation of my lifestyle. I can't complain, but it's a big thing, you know. There's so much going on, right?
I don't want you to give away any high side intelligence, anything that's classified, how many rounds of ammunition you've stockpiled, but I'm pretty sure you're pretty secure in terms of your quartermastering needs. Am I? Is that a good guess, Terry Schapper?
That's a very fair estimate, Seb. you know what we do. You walked among. By the way, I'm coughing with a cold. I don't have it. Darn it.
It's okay. I won't catch it through the telephone. I think I'll be fine.
Yeah, I think you're safe. Yeah, of course. I think this is another thing. Yeah, I don't have a lot of guns, but the ones I do have with, I'd like to think I'm pretty good with, and I've got lots of ammo for them. And I think a lot of this kind of stuff has made a lot of people realize just how vulnerable they are.
Yes.
Right. You know, the gun stuff since the Second Amendment Friday. A lot of us gun folks get made fun of, and you know, you know, prepper redneck gun people.
But not anymore.
not anymore, man. Because when you realize how quickly stuff can descend. I mean, think about this. Everybody just freaked out and cleaned out the toilet paper. That's that. Now imagine turning off the power or water or something like that.
People need to understand, and you know this, that civilization is about 7 days away from anarchy. If you don't get seven...
You're right.
No, seriously. Because, you know, the grocery stores, the supermarkets, their supply chain is about 8 days long. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. And if you're not ready, you're doing yourself a disservice. I think a lot of people out that are not in the big cities, it's obviously easier for us because, you know, we can go get stuff and come back. And the problem with obviously a place like New York City is, you know, the population density. When this started a while ago, I remember I actually did a Fox News thing there, like right after it kind of broke out. I was like leaving the next day. I was like, just let me get out of New York. And I have friends in New York, and some of them are doing well. Some of them are really kind of not doing well, having a hard time with this. But I hope – the other thing too, Seb, I'll just say this. I know we probably don't have that much time, but after everything's gone on, right, the whole thing, there's a lot of things to be learned. And my hope is that the country – there's going to be some people who will never learn.
No.
But I think – I hope that people learn some things from this and we adapt our behavior and change it. If we don't do that, then honestly, I hate to sound, you know, whatever, but – We're on an inexorable decline. If you can't learn from the lessons of this and actually change what you're doing, then it's going to go downhill. I mean, we have to reevaluate a lot of things we were doing or weren't doing.
And it's not just
right now, this hysteria.
It's not just at the individual level; it's at the national level. So forget the 100%. Toilet paper. I mean, look,
exactly.
I've always got pallets of water at home. I've got more ammunition than I could hopefully ever need.
Right.
I don't have few guns; I have a lot of guns. But hey, that's just me. But as a nation, if we don't reevaluate our supply chains, who we are buying our antibiotics from, where we're getting our PPE, our personal protective equipment for our nurses, for our first responders, then we deserve to have this happen to us again. But Terry, knowing the average American, I think we'll have learned our lesson, don't you?
I think so, yeah. I do. I think so. I mean, we people like us already kind of knew this, and I'm not going to minimize what's happening and who's going to get sick and who has died or who will die from this. But this is in a way of a wake up call. This is not Ebola. This isn't something that's, you know, like, you know, 25%, you know, death rate. So if you don't learn from this now, then I don't know really what to tell you. It's also crafted quite a bit of divide between the different kind of cultures in the United States. And again, you know, Seb, the media just destroyed the credibility for the last few years.
Again.
And I even thought this was all when this was all really hitting hard, I thought this is actually an opportunity for them to just do the right thing and get the credibility back. And they just couldn't do it. They're incapable of it. They're incapable of it.
When they're saying somebody died because they drank aquarium cleaner, it's the president's fault. They're just hacks. They're just hacks. He is the host. Yeah. I have three TV shows I love: American Pickers, Ancient Aliens, and, of course, Hollywood Weapons, Fact or Fiction. And this, I'm not going to even use an adjective, this person gets to host it. Follow him right now. He's a great buddy. He is a fan of the show. He's a friend of the show, and he's a Second Amendment champion. He is Terry Shapitt. Follow him on Twitter at Terry Shapitt. Stay safe, my brother. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, please allow me to help you. Dr. G wants to help. If you're suffering from daily pain, do what I did. Relief Factor isn't a synthetic painkiller. It's not bad for you. It doesn't have any negative side effects. It doesn't mask the pain by affecting the pain sensors. It actually attacks the source of the pain, which is the inflammation, and that's what you want. It rid me of my nine-year-old, almost a decade-long problem with lower back pain, and then after my knee surgery a month ago, I trebled my dose. Why? Because it was so effective, I got off the painkillers that I was given after the operation. Tens of thousands of Americans are taking it right now. See their incredible video testimony at ReliefFactor.com, and then don't hesitate. Become the next success story. Order the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That works out to less than a dollar a day. You deserve to find out if it works for me like it works for you. And my promise, Dr. G's promise, if you take Relief Factor every morning, every evening for those 3 weeks, you'll know if it works for you like it works for me. As the president says at his rallies, what have you got to lose? ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Back with the MAGA update here on America First.
This is the Making America Great update with Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
We give you the ammunition, the rhetorical ammunition, to argue the Making America Great Again case every Friday, straight from Mr. G. Jeff, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, give us the latest important things that Team MAGA needs to know.
On Monday, President Trump signed an executive order to prevent price gouging and hoarding of medical supplies during the coronavirus outbreak. This has resulted in the next day, the SEIU union suddenly found 39 million N95 masks in a warehouse.
39,000?
No, million.
What?
Yes.
What? Are you serious?
Yes, 39 million.
Just Matt, when Bill Barr said, if you're hoarding medical goods, we're going to be knocking on your door, I think they got the message. That's incredible. Wow. Dodgy, dodgy, dodgy. What next, Jeff?
The Navy hospital medical ship, the USNS Mercy, arrived in L.A. today. It'll provide an extra 1,000 beds staffed with doctors and nurses. And the important thing about this is this was set into motion a couple of weeks ago. So it's arriving before the hospitals in L.A. are being overrun.
Oh, that's so smart. And I think they refitted it or they updated it in super fast time, right?
Yes, that's right. True, too. And the other thing is Donald Trump announced that 4,000 ventilators from the national stockpile were going to be given to the state of New York.
4,000. Wow. Do you think Cuomo's going to shut up now?
For a little bit. Yeah. Not once he gets them.
I'm not so sure about that. And that's Mr. G's Making America Great Again update. The proud gouging and the hoarding bill has been signed, and the SIU got very far worried very quickly. The Mercy ship, the hospital ship, the Mercy, USS Mercy, is deploying to Los Angeles. And then we have, what was the third one?
What was that?
What was the third one? I've missed one. Price gouging.
The ventilators.
Oh, the ventilators. The ventilators, of course. And let's just be clear here. There's a reason we still have states. Governors need to be prepared for this. The idea that Uncle Sam has to provide your health care. Well, what have you been doing in the meantime as governor? What is your responsibility? Nothing. That's how they would have you believe it, but it is not true. Thank you, Mr. G, for our update. Every single week, we're going to be sharing those with you. Use them at the water cooler, at the local barbecue. They are the factual things that will help us in 220 days to make sure that this president, who's standing at the helm right now fighting the coronavirus, is reelected. Just could you imagine if Biden were in the White House, or if Hillary were in the White House? Every single one of you has a role to play. God bless you all. Remember, reliable information, cdc.gov, whitehouse.gov, and of course, you can check out coronavirus.gov.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.